Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
We're going to talk Everton now because we've got Ped from the Blue Room on the line. Good morning to you, Ped.
Morning, Al.
How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate.
Looking forward to another home victory at the weekend. 7 on the bounce. Goals galore. It's the place to be, Goodison, isn't it?
Yeah, hopefully so. Big chance for another one. And hopefully we can get it. Kick us on to, you know, a challenge for that. You know, whether it be top 5, top 6 for the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it looks nailed on now for at least 7th place, doesn't it? 10 points ahead of West Brom, so pretty much done and dusted. And European football for Everton next season, unless Leicester win the Champions League, which is unlikely.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I mean, that 7th place does look nailed on now from West Brom. You know, I've got a sneaky feeling Southampton might just come on the rails and pip them for 8th place, but the only way to look at it now is up, and obviously with the form of Arsenal, the way they're playing, and I know they've got a couple of games in hand, but the fact that we've got them last game of the season, you know, it gives us that little outside chance that if they keep slipping up, and obviously we keep winning, then there isn't a chance to overtake them. And you know, obviously, as I say, playing them last game of the season does give us a big chance to overhaul them.
Well, it's a bit more money for each place in the Premier League, isn't there? So it shouldn't be sniffed at.
No, but there's also, I think, the way of looking for the players that, you know, if they do get, you know, 5th or 6th, then they don't have to start the Europa League at the end of July.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
it's a big bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, that's probably the biggest incentive, that they might get a couple of weeks more on holiday rather than having to come back and start pre-season a little bit tougher and, you know, end up going to some European backwater at the end of July.
Yeah, and it is July the 27th if they do have to play that third qualifying round, and then you've got the playoff round after that in August, so plenty of games. That playoff round is after the season has kicked off, of course, but still the preparations will start a bit earlier. As far as you're concerned, is there an expectancy, if I can get the word out, going to Goodison Park, given what's happened in 2017 so far, Pad?
There is an expectation, but I think there's also a calmness, I think, at the moment at Goodison. You know, I think, you know, you look at the game on Sunday against Leicester, you know, when we went 2-1 down, I don't think too many people panicked, including, you know, especially the players, but certainly the fans, whereas last season you would have been, certainly would have been a lot more edgy when that happened. But I think, you know, the players deserve a lot more time, and are getting time from the fans now, and I think that was the first time we've actually been behind since the derby. So I think people are going now. They're enjoying the football. People are expecting us to win, but as I say, that's not putting a pressure on anyone. That's enjoyable, and hopefully it'll be the same on Saturday, because I do think you know, Burnley will be hard to break down, and we'll come and try and just stop Everton from playing. And that's the other side of it. Now, that's the flip side. And we've seen that before. Teams will come to Goodison and not want to play. They'll just want to sit in and try and hit us on the break or get a set piece. So we have to be patient at times, and that goes for the fans as well. But as I say, I think the players have earned the right now to be allowed to just play their football and hopefully, you know, get the goals and see what happens.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about last weekend against Leicester when they were 2-1 down. There was no panic, and there still felt an air around Goodison that, you know, Everton would win the game. It was that sort of feeling. It was good to have, really, wasn't it? It's really come on from the Roberto Martinez era.
Yeah, well, if you go back, 12 months, and you know, remember the you know, some of the games at Goodison Park last season, and the sheer panic in not only the defending but also the fans, you know,
Stoke and Leicester,
well, it's come on a long way. I think you know, this time last year we were about a week off from playing Liverpool in the derby and then the semi final, and you know, everyone remembers how bad certainly the derby was. So everything feels a lot more settled now, and everything feels like we're going in the right direction. People obviously talking about who we're going to be bringing in the summer, and you know, there's a little bit of worry in the back of your mind about Romelu Lukaku, and now even, I suppose, Ross Barkley. But people are very optimistic, I think, about that kind of players now looking to bring in, and that's pushing everyone on. Everyone's really hopeful now. Get European football and looking at those kind of players that we can bring in to kick us on now, and hopefully we keep those players. But if we don't, I think that, you know, there are players out there that we can get as well that can kick the club on.
One of those players you mentioned there, Ped, Romelu Lukaku, has been nominated. He's one of the six in the nominations for the PFA Players Player of the Year. Hazard, Ibrahimovic, Kane, Kante, Lukaku and Sanchez. Does he certainly deserve to be in there?
Yeah, certainly I think so. You know, he's the Premier League top goalscorer at the moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that on its own really should get him in amongst there. And it's nice to see an Everton player obviously nominated to it. It's been a while since we've had one in there, so it's nice to see that. And obviously, he is top. I don't think, you know, he hasn't scored any penalties this season, so from that kind of way of looking at it as well, he's way ahead from that side of things. Yeah, it'd be interesting. I don't think he'll win it, because I think it'll probably go to Hazard in the end, or it typically goes to someone who wins the Premier League.
Yeah.
or in and around. So maybe Kante or Hazard, but no, it's nice to see him. Nice to see him in amongst those players.
He's in the Young Player of the Year as well. One of the six in there: Dele Alli, Harry Kane again, Michael Keane, Lukaku, Jordan Pickford, and Leroy Sané from City.
Guaranteed Dele Alli. Absolutely.
Same as last year.
Yeah, media favourite. Absolutely guaranteed. No, again, it's nice to see him in there. Although, he'll be looking at it thinking, you know, it's justifying maybe the talk of him wanting bigger and better things. But, you know, you can't stop that from happening. That's big, good things. You know, you can't hide the fact that he's had a good season. You don't want to hide the fact. You can't hide your players. You want them driving on and getting success. And that's another side of it. Personal accolades will come with team accolades if players are doing the job. And he's doing his job. So, you know, I'm happy for him that he's got that and wherever it leads him.
Down at the other end of the park, certainly the talk in the Liverpool Echo today is on Ronald Koeman pursuing Virgil van Dijk from Southampton, who's out injured currently. But the fee that they're talking about here is an asking price of around £55 million. That seems a bit OTT.
Yeah, but I mean, I suppose we created that market with John Stones, so it's a bit of our own fault. But it absolutely drives me mad that we had a chance to buy Virgil van Dijk and we bought Funes Mori instead. And, you know, that's... I'm not having a go at Funes Mori there, but I think Virgil van Dijk, when you look at his progression at Southampton, he's been absolutely fantastic. And the fact that we could have bought him for maybe £12-15 million about 18 months ago, we really did miss out. But these are the players now that we're going to have to try and step up and buy. And if they are going to be that kind of price, that's the market we're moving into. And that's the jump. I think you have to move into if you want to finish.
Yeah.
If you want to think about finishing top four, they're the players you have to buy, and that's what it costs you. And you've got to, if you've got the money, you've got to take the risk. I mean, if you haven't got the money, then you obviously can't go anywhere near. You can't. But if you want to be top four, you will get the rewards back. If you're in Champions League regularly, you will get that kind of money back. That's what Everton have got to look to do now. Unfortunately, we're going to have to prioritise, I suppose, one or two positions if it's going to cost us that much. But I think centre-back now is so key, and there's not a massive amount of talent around at the moment.
Well, Michael Keane and Harry Maguire are the other ones mentioned.
Yeah, I suppose it'll be interesting on Saturday because we can all sort of get a look at Keane. And as much as I want us to win the game, it'd be interesting to see if he has a good game against Lukaku. But I think Van Dijk will be on a lot of people's shopping list this summer. That a lot of people will be coming in for him. It'll just be whether that relationship he's got with Ronald Koeman will make any kind of benefit. But then again, it's whether Everton are prepared to splash that kind of money on him, because it's a lot of money for a defender. But as I say, we sort of set the tone there for the price of a defender.
Well, I suppose he's the right age, isn't he? You know, you talk about Ashley Williams, who's 32, and Jags, who's 34, will be 35 in August. You know, so a 25-year-old defender and Michael Keane's younger than that. You know, that is something that augurs well for the future if these sort of deals come off.
Yeah, and I think as well, he's captain of Southampton as well, so he's a leader as well. And so you've got to replace those kind of players. You'd want him to come into the team and automatically be organising the defence and be a leader on the pitch. So that would be a perfect age. And, you know, you could, I suppose, what if you pay that kind of money for that age, I know it's not what you want to talk about, but there's still value if you sell on that kind of player, not that you'd want to. I mean, you look at it from both ways. You might get 10 years service out of a player, or you've got a chance to, you know, if the player wanted bigger and better things, a chance to make your money back. So I'd certainly be looking at him. As I say, it'll be a tough market this summer, because I think everyone in the top six or anyone around us, they'll all be thinking that there's a chance to kick on this summer and really make waves to push on for the Premier League, because all those teams above us with good signings could win the league.
Mm. What would you do with the team at the weekend then against Burnley, Ped? Just keep it as it is, no changes from last weekend?
I'd probably be tempted to bring Williams back for Pennington.
Yes, sorry, I forgot about that, the suspension, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I think I'd just bring him back because I think, you know, I just think, you know, if you get Jags and Williams back together, I think you know, obviously got the experience in the organisation. Pennington, you know, he's a young lad and he looks very similar to those two players. He's not necessarily blessed with a lot of pace. He's sort of in the mould of Jags. So I would probably just bring Williams back because you've got that experience. I don't, you know, Burnley haven't got a lot of pace and they'll try and probably beat us with set pieces rather than anything else. So I mean, they've got a little bit of pace through the middle, but I just for stability, I'd probably bring him back. And the rest of the team, I think, just picks itself at the moment, obviously with the injuries. But, you know, I don't think there needs to be any messing about. I think one position we have messed about with is on the left-hand side. And I think Morales now, I'd like to see Morales go on a run now and really, really keep that position, because he looks up for it and he almost goes through periods where you've got to just leave him in the team, because you'll have his downtimes, but at the moment he looks right on it. So I'd leave that alone and leave the rest of the team alone.
And just a final word on the fixtures that remain, Ped, only six to play, three at home, three away. But the final home game of the season now is a Friday night, 7:45 against Watford, and it's not live on TV.
Yeah, I'm to be honest, I'm really disappointed about that. I'm not sure how much the club can do about it. It's to accommodate other teams for TV on another night. And that's the most annoying thing, that our fans are having to suffer the fact for someone else being on TV. And that's really frustrating, because I know it's a Friday night and, you know, people expect everyone to just be able to turn up, but they can't. And people have had to change travel plans. Yep. Or can't get to Goodison. And, you know, you normally have the lap of honour and all that kind of thing. And, you know, you normally actually go out after the game as well and sort of finish off your season, and that's been stopped, and that's annoying. As I say, if the club have had any control over that, then I'd be disappointed. But knowing the way things are these days, then they probably haven't had any.
You're right.
It's annoying that someone else, it's getting moved for someone else to be on TV when probably the league will probably all be done by then. So, so it all seems a little bit pointless.
Yeah, so the last home game of the season on a Saturday is this weekend. So get along there if you can. Ped, thanks for your time. Brilliant to get you on. Thanks very much indeed.
The Kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.